Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
To the Odds Couple on the world famous Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, founder of PritchardsPicks.com. You can also check me out, VegasInsider.com. We're simulcasting live on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Las Vegas, Nevada, and Vegas Video Network. Joined as always by my good friend, co-host from the Odds Couple. Good to have him back, an anchor of the show, Anthony Padilla.
Yes, Anthony Padilla, user of Pritchard's Picks. And always happy to be here, especially on days like today. There's been a lot going on the last couple of days in sports. We're going to get into all of that. And we actually lost a legend. Jonathan Winters has left this world.
Let's get started with what say you? New York Knickerbockers caught streaking. It all came to an end. They won 13 consecutive games. That was before they met the Chicago Bulls. The game, very competitive, went overtime before the Bulls pulled off the mild upset. They were a four-point dog in that game.
Yeah, you know what? The Knicks, man, are on fire. I think it was about a month ago when we were talking about these different teams and who the locks were. You know, the Heat were the lock. Nobody could compete. And in the West, you had the Spurs just being the Spurs. And you know, I've always felt like Oklahoma City was still going to take it again. And then since then, things have really changed. I mean, this Knicks team, they were good all year. But in terms of what they're doing now, they legitimately look like they could really give the Heat a run for their money right now.
What's interesting about that is they are a dead three-point shooting team. They've been hit with a barrage of injuries, but yet they just keep on keeping on. Amari Stoudemire has been injured for quite some time. Can you explain this to me, Anthony, why this Knicks team, early on fire without Amari Stoudemire, $100 million contract, and then he came back, they were average at best, he went back on the injury list, and they have been kicking everyone's tail ever since. I mean, the one thing I've noticed is, as I watched the game Sunday against Oklahoma City, the Thunder favored by 7.5 against the Knicks riding that winning streak, they just do not beat themselves, they do not turn the ball over. We do know that Amari Stoudemire is a turnover machine, but your thoughts?
My thoughts are on the Chicago Bulls right now, to be honest with you. I mean, let's bring up the fact that they stopped both. Well, all right, let's get to this streaking thing. Like, is this just a trendy thing? Like, every time somebody does something, I mean, the Heat, they're getting closer to 33 games. That's a streak. I mean, yeah, 12, 13 games, that's also a streak. But we're treating it like it was the same 33-game streak. Now, if somebody wins 5 or 6 games in a row, are we going to talk about the big streak that they're on?
On this show, yes, because from a betting standpoint, you never bet on a streak to end. So not only do we entertain, that's why you're here wearing that shirt.
But that's interesting.
But we're also here to educate.
That's interesting that you say that you never bet on a streak to end, because I would think you would liken that to flipping a coin. Just because a coin comes up heads if it comes up heads 10 times out of 10, what are the odds it's going to come up heads the next time? 50-50, right?
50-50 is correct, sure. But understand that all things being equal, yes, but in the world of sports, that's not the case, because you have teams go on winning streaks, teams get hot, and conversely, bad teams lose, good teams win. It's really not even up for discussion from a sports betting standpoint, because every educated professional sports bettor knows that you ride the wave, and the reason is you can only lose one time, and yet you can win countless times. But yeah, I think it's a big deal. I mean, the Knicks winning 13 games in a row in the National Basketball Association, where we have more parity today than ever before. I think it's obviously they're not getting the kind of press that the Heat were chasing the all-time record of 33 consecutive wins. But yeah, the Clippers early on in the year won, I don't know, 13 to 17 games in a row. That's a big deal.
Well, are we going to start doing this every time now when somebody opens the season with 2 or 3 wins? Are we going to talk about how they're on pace to win 82?
It's possible. You know, I never thought about it, but if it annoys you, I can see to it that we do this.
Well, I don't think we'll be around next basketball season, so I'm not too worried about that.
So you don't believe in streaks?
Of course I believe in streaks. I'm a baseball guy. I'm all about superstition and streaks, and you don't mess with the streak. Betting on a streak, I suppose I don't. That's why I'm asking more for the general population who are listening, you know, to understand why you should bet on a streak. I believe you don't mess with streaks. So I, that being said, if it's coming to a bet, sure, absolutely. Always right.
Well, this show is called The Odds Couple. So again, we're all about playing the odds, and that's why we educate people on why you should ride the wave, winning streak, losing streak. Again, if you left and came back, it's because you can only lose one time and you can win countless times. I mean, I love to give the example of the Oakland A's a few years ago when they won 21 consecutive baseball games, but even the Miami Heat winning 27 consecutive games. And you have obscure average teams like the Knicks winning 13 consecutive games. We're going to talk about this because baseball, more than any other sport, is extremely streaky, and you can really put yourself in favorable positions, especially if you have an average team a la the Oakland A's that they're not favored that often. And yet, I know today they've won eight consecutive games.
Yeah, well, the A's are doing what they do, apparently. They just quietly win. And they're not concerned with the big money and all this other stuff that's going on. And these other teams in their division spend it and deal with all this other stuff, you know, around them. And the A's just quietly win.
Can you explain to me? I mean, I understand they do not get much respect. They get my respect because I'm all about value. But it's amazing to me how this team, low bankroll, low payroll, yet last year they won the American League West. They were in first place one day, the last day of the season. And yet they don't draw. I was just talking to Scott Whitney, the executive producer of this show, from Oakland, going to the games way back when, I'm guessing it was in the 30s. They did not draw well then. Some things never change.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know if the, as much as the A's are a fun team to root for, you know, because they just go about their business and they win with a small payroll, you know, I don't know that they're going to have the staying power. I mean, they're good right now, but they're still in a tough division, and they still play teams that have really good players that as the season goes on, they're going to figure it out. You know, just because you start 8-1, again, it doesn't really matter how you start, it's how you finish. We all know that. And in a 162-game season, there's some solid teams in that division that if they pull it together, I think are just going to run away from the A's.
Well, I mean, that's a very popular opinion. The odds makers would agree with you, but the fact is, come on now, I realize it's early, but they've won 8 consecutive games in a very competitive division. Okay. I mean, no one was talking about Oakland going into the season. Everyone was talking about the Angels in Texas and an improved Seattle team. No one said squat about Oakland.
But you know what? Look, you got to decide at what point you're going to go with a certain thought process. Because if that's the case, then we might as well write off David Price and R.A. Dickey and a couple other starting pitchers that have struggled their first couple outings. I mean, if we're going based off of just a few games as our test market, then that's it. But again, it's a long season. And just like they start 8-1, you know, they can very quickly turn around and end up 10-26.
Sure, of course. I mean, that's the curse of baseball, but that is also the appeal. But based on your logic, you're thinking, well, David Price got rocked in his first game, so I'm going to know that he's a star pitcher. He just had one bad outing, so I'm going to bet him in the second game where he was a $2 favorite, and you would be homeless today. Same way with that thought process of R.A. Dickey. Same thing. We're talking about last year doesn't come into play. It's all about current form.
Absolutely. Hey, Scotty. Live chat. Steve thinks that the A's are going to lose to the Tigers tonight. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the Tigers, of course, I mean, I think the Tigers are going to win every game based on talent, but they're not even in first place in their division. Let's take a look at today's pitching matchup with the Tigers. Scherzer, strikeout pitcher, on the road taking on the A's. Cologne is going. I mean, Scherzer, ERA of 7.20. Cologne looked good first time out, 4.50 with his ERA. But we look at whip. Walks, hits, per inning pitch, Scherzer 1.4, Cologne 1.33. So, I mean, I certainly cannot, I love to disagree with anyone and everyone, especially Anthony, but in this case, I have so much respect for the A's, but the Tigers, I mean, there's so many different ways this Tiger team can beat you up and down the lineup. Good starting pitching. The concern I have with the Tigers, I don't trust the Tigers back end. They're relievers. They're middle relievers. I'm not sold on their bullpen. So if I were to bet this game, and if you like the Tigers, bet the first 5 innings. Don't bet the game because, I mean, I like your starting pitcher, but I don't trust your bullpen. Bet the Tiger. If you like the Tigers, bet the Tigers for the first 5 innings as opposed to the entire game.
Well, look, we're talking about a streaking A's team right now. Okay, Name me five superstars on that roster.
Well, that's the whole thing about the A's. It's small ball. They exactly. manufacture runs. They're like a National League team playing in the American League.
Well, my point here is you don't have five superstars on that team. Yet, take the Angels, who is just a powerhouse of a team, okay? Just off the top of my head, you've got Joe Blanton, Albert Pujols, Mike Trout, Jared Weaver, you know? I mean, this is a ridiculous team.
It is, but of course, Weaver's out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yes, he is, and there was a freak injury.
There's a huge difference between their star pitcher and everyone else. C.J. Wilson has been somewhat of a bust for the Angels. Their back end of their rotation is questionable at best, and their bullpen sucks, quite frankly. But their first through nine in terms of batting, I don't know if anyone's better.
I don't either, but they're 2-7.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, we talked about this earlier in the week. Do you now start to take the Angels, or is this team strictly a fake?
No, because, well, you know, it's interesting because last week when we briefly mentioned, I'm sorry, you and I were discussing it. I don't think we talked about it on the show. Albert Pujols signed a new 10-year deal last year. Huge contract. And he made a comment recently, which you and I were discussing, which is somewhat disturbing, and you wonder if it's a little revealing. He said that he doesn't know when he's going to be done, but if he's done next year, only God knows. And when he's done, he will walk away from his contract. So if it's next year, so be it. If it's 5 years from now, so be it. But that's a very interesting remark. 4 games into a season and only 1 year into this new 10-year deal.
I'm surprised that Albert Pujols went on record as saying that. I mean, signing the 10-year big fat contract for the Angels. But, you know, let us not forget, I mean, this team 2-7 right now. Again, it's early. We're talking April. It's a six-month season, 162 games. But history has a way of repeating itself. Last year, the Angels were the favorite to win the American League West, when in essence, they didn't even make the playoffs. When we have not one but two wild card teams. Two teams in the American League West made the playoffs, and the Angels were outside looking in. So they got off to a slow start last year. Same thing this year. They're 2-7. I think over the course of 162 games that this team will be there in the end. But come on. I mean, they can start playing any day now.
Well, and at some point you're going to have to turn it around or you're going to find yourself 17 games back and no time to catch up. I mean, it is a long season, but at the same time, they're 9 games into this year, and the Angels are already 5.5 games out of first place. I mean, you haven't even played 10 games, and the amount of games you played, you're already half of that out of first. You know, you're going to have to make up some ground. You can't just keep, and they won't. Again, baseball is streaky. The Angels are going to get hot. Josh Hamilton is not going to suck all year, or maybe he will. I don't know, but the whole team's not going to, you know. There's certainly no Washington Nationals. I mean, if you want to compare lineups with rosters that should be producing, the Nationals are a team that are getting it done.
Well, the Nationals, of course, last year, timing's everything. Last year, they took everyone by surprise. They basically have the same roster that they did a year ago, but this year they are the odds-on favorite to win the American League East. I love their pitching throughout. They play good sound defense. I like their manager. Their hitting has been good, but that's not their strength. It's pitching, starting pitching, relievers, bullpen, closer. I'm telling you, but yet they're not even in first place. The Atlanta Braves are.
Sure, but again, it's now. And the one thing I don't like doing, and I don't care if it's us who talk sports or if it's other people, look, it's kind of like, what game was it last week? There were a couple of teams, it was when the Angels visited Texas, and it was the return of Josh Hamilton to Texas. You know, and some guy tweeted, some random fan said, haha, thanks Hamilton for going 3-for-26 and handing us first place in the division. All right, chump, nice. You're 4 games into the season. Really, does first place matter right now? None of that matters right now. You play to win. You play to stay. You're not going to be in first the entire year in a baseball season. Football, 16-game season, that's one thing. You want to try to build somewhat of a lead and try to run with it if you can. In baseball, you just want to make sure you're around the top one or two spots and within a handful of games. Because to try to take it, it's much like a horse race. You don't want the lead coming out of the gate, you know, in the Kentucky Derby and try to hold on to that because you know somebody's going to come up from the back. And it's the same thing with baseball. I mean, it may not be a team that's 16 games out, you know, but certainly a team is going to make a run that's 5 to 8 games back at some point in the season. You don't want to sit in first the whole time. So, you know, it's yeah, the Washington Nationals are not in first right now, but this team is poised to make a run if they need to. I mean, or to go neck and neck with the Braves. But, you know, I don't know if I want to stick with it. It's not the sexy pick. I'm a Washington Nationals fan because I think that's a fun team. I despise the Atlanta Braves, but the Braves were my preseason pick, and, you know, there they are sitting 8-1. So am I going to be a hypocrite and say, well, look at my pick. They're sitting pretty. Or am I going to go with what I'm saying now and just realize at some point that could stop? I mean, you know, Upton hit 6 home runs in his first 7 games. That streak's certainly not going to keep going. The guy would hit 500 home runs this season.
Right. I love the Braves. I love the way they hit the ball. But the Washington Nationals are certainly my pick to win the National League East just based on the fact I don't see any real weaknesses on this team, and that's not an easy thing to say. But to validate your point as far as it's a long season, the regular season, just hang around, I get that. And the Detroit Tigers from a year ago were a perfect example. I mean, when they picked up Fielder, they were the odds-on favorite, certainly in the American League Central, and they were in a dogfight with the Chicago White Sox before finally getting into the playoffs and then getting to the World Series. But they looked like an average team for 90% of the regular season.
Yeah, and you know, Detroit is one of those teams that I really wonder if they are that team that they build it and then they get right there for a couple of seasons and now they just start to level out, you know, because they are good, but other teams are getting better. And Verlander, although he's still a beast, he's not doing what he did 2 years ago.
Well, I respectfully disagree. I think the Tigers, based on the fact they're in a cake division, I mean, you look at the American League East, it's stacked with teams. I mean, how do you pick between Tampa Bay, Baltimore, Boston, and of course Toronto, the favorite going in? And then American League West, you have the A's right there again. I mean, everyone liked the Angels, including me, going into the season, and of course Texas. But in the American League Central, you have the Tigers and nobody else. I mean, yeah, the Kansas City Royals, they've won 4 consecutive games. Good for them. It's the first 2 weeks of the season. We'll see how it plays out. But I think the Tigers, I mean, hey, we're talking about a team that went to the World Series a year ago, and then what did they do in the offseason? They picked up Torii Hunter,
who's doing great.
Well, he's a star. He was a stud for the Angels last year.
Torii Hunter is just fun to watch still to this day.
Right.
Got to see him pick up his 2000th hit the other day. And, I mean, he's always got a smile on his face. He's always played the game the right way. That's a guy who I don't think gets enough. And I shouldn't say that because he's had quite a bit of positive conversation about him, but he still is very deserving because he brings a lot to any team he's on. And he's now one of those guys that he's an aging veteran. He brings just as much to the locker room as he does to the field.
Well, he does. I loved him in Minnesota, loved him when he played for the Angels, and last year I believe he hit over 300 for the Angels. So he just, again, he's a proven wily veteran who gets it done and has a real love for the game, and it shows.
Well, I don't mean to divert from Torii Hunter here, because I like your point there, and we can't talk about the guy enough, but it just got me thinking when you brought up the AL East. The AL East is very comparable to the NFC East in the NFL, and I mean, just every team, it's a battle. You don't know who's going to come out. I mean, certainly you can make arguments for every team. No team you go, oh, they're just horrible, they're going to be nowhere near. And you know it's going to be a fight for every little scrap that they can get. But then you've got other divisions where it's like, is there one team that wants to do anything? And it always seems to come from the West. So what is it with the East in sports and divisions that even in the NBA?
Strength of schedule. In handicapping football, we know how critically important it is. But even in baseball, you'll see it because, again, anyone can win the World Series. You can't win it if you don't get there. So oftentimes you have to look at the road less traveled. I mean, like human beings, we all take the path of least resistance. It's a lot easier for the Tigers to make the postseason than, say, Toronto or Boston or Baltimore based on their division and based on their schedule.
Now let me ask you this. Are you okay in sports with the best team? Like, let's go to the NCAA tournament, for example. Are you okay with the best team not necessarily winning? Or do you prefer the sports where they've got the seven-game series, the five-game series, where the cream will rise to the top, the best generally emerge in those situations? Or do you like to see something like in the NCAA where you've got a number 9 Wichita State making it to the Final Four, even though they're clearly not better than other teams, but they were better on those days?
It's two different animals altogether, and it just, again, just explain to me what the rules are. I'll handicap it accordingly. I don't much care. I don't have a preference one way or the other, but it's important to know the difference. In pro basketball, the best team almost always wins because you have to win four times in a seven-game series. So as good as LeBron James, the big three with Bosh and Wade and their bench and their proven coach and favorable schedule, the fact that they have home court advantage, if you should beat them, congratulations. Now you have to beat them three more times. I do not see that happening. And that's the difference. In baseball, it's a different animal as well because the best team doesn't always win. It's baseball is a different animal. It's really based on if you have a hot pitcher like Oral Hershiser back in 88, 89 with the Dodgers. I mean, 59 consecutive scoreless innings can just flat out dominate a game. Verlander has that capability. Sabathia years ago, same thing. So if you get a hot pitcher, but in football, it's one and done. But you do have a distinct home field advantage. NCAA college basketball tournament, different animal altogether because there are no home games. Teams' records, not all created equally because everyone plays Sisters of Mary the first 15, 20 games of the season, and 80% of those games are at home. So it comes down to the constant defense. Defense in college basketball is a constant. You can play good, sound defense at home and away. If you're a three-point shooting team, you live by the three, you die by the three. If you're on the road, those shots are not going to fall. The best jump shooter on the planet is about 40%. So that's why I love teams that play good defense and either shoot layups and or the three, not 15-foot jumpers.
See, you know, here's what I like what you said. Because as an avid sports fan of most sports, with the exception of hockey and soccer, you know, those I could care less about those. But everything else I really enjoy watching, some more than others. I'm okay with the quote-unquote best team not always winning at all. Because that's part of the game. Because I've played on those teams where you're fighting for a shot to get in. And then you just feel like, if we can just get in, let's see what we can do. I don't have a problem with a 7-9 football team getting in the playoffs and going on a run. I mean, is it a little silly? Yeah. But again, you can't do anything about the matchups. You can't. I don't like when they start saying, well, we got to level this out more so that doesn't happen again. Why? It's not your fault. You shouldn't be punished because you're in a bad division. And if you're a 7-9 team and you win the division, chances are you're not going to go very far in the playoffs anyway. But should you be rewarded with a playoff spot for winning your division? Absolutely. If that's how it plays out, you can't punish teams for being in a situation that they have no control over. All they can do is handle that. So I am always okay with whatever happens, happens. And if the best team doesn't, I mean, is it great to see the best team win? Sometimes, because that's how it's supposed to be. But you know what? Sometimes it's fun to see somebody come out of nowhere and make a run. Yeah. Now the Lakers, I just want them to not go to the playoffs because I don't even want to talk about them anymore. But does Kobe Bryant now have instilled in that team a mindset that if they just get in, that they can make a run? Absolutely. Does the rest of the world think that? Not a chance.
Right.
Does anybody think they're going to get anywhere? But I promise you, Kobe has instilled a mindset in that team. Guys, if we just get in at number 8, let's see what we can do. And that's what it takes. I mean, look what he's done with this team.
I agree. I mean, just we talked about this again yesterday, Anthony. We're talking about a team that it's surprising because going into the season, we felt, a lot of people felt the Lakers would be right there with Oklahoma City and San Antonio for the Western Conference when they put this dream team together. But again, there's only one ball to go around. And they've had chemistry issues. I'm not convinced that Mike D'Antoni is the answer there for the Lakers. But you look at the Lakers and Kobe Bryant, again, two nights ago, 48 minutes, 47 points, 18 of 18 from the free throw line. This after the night before against New Orleans, he scored 23 points in the fourth quarter. It's tough to maintain that level of continuity and consistency. But to your point, you can say what you want about the Lakers getting in. I don't I do know. I don't think anyone thinks the Lakers are going to do much in the postseason, but I will say Oklahoma City or San Antonio, they would much rather play the Utah Jazz in the first round as opposed to the Lakers.
Well, and you know what? Look, let's just call it like it is. Kobe Bryant is a man, is not a man amongst men. He is a god amongst gods. What that guy does and what he's capable of doing is insane. The level of everything that he brings to the court, the intensity, he backs up his talk. And it's not like he's a trash talker and he backs it up. There's a big difference to me between somebody like Meta World Peace or Dennis Rodman and Kobe Bryant. You know, those guys talk for the attention and they want that, hey, look, we're going to win it all. Kobe says it because he truly believes, hey, this is what I do. This is my life. This is my livelihood. We're going to win. I'm going to find a way to win. I'm going to leave it all out there. Then I'm going to dig up a little bit more and leave that out there as well. And I love what Kobe brings to the table every night. And that's part of why you hate him if you're not a Lakers fan, because you know that what he's capable of.
Have you always had this man crush on Kobe?
No, it's not a man crush at all. It's just a respect.
Sounds like you're in denial.
No.
Because it sounds to me like you're in love with the man.
Really? Just by
it does.
By
yes, I'm telling you.
By giving him
We're
kudos?
Talking about an eight-seeded team with a bunch of marquee players.
Yeah, that's my argument every week. I'm just saying what this guy is capable of has nothing to do with being in love with the guy. This guy just really brings more to the table than anybody on that team. And you know what I don't like?
I'm just saying, hey. I'm just saying when you talk about him, you're blushing a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Not really. Not really. And I don't like the cohesiveness, the cohesiveness issues with the team. You know, Mike D'Antoni this, or these guys don't fit. Again, I'm sick of watching sports where two games in with a new coach, they lost two games. This guy's not the right guy. Give me a break, man. Everybody's attributing the success of this team to what the team has done. Really, you're not going to give Mike D'Antoni any credit? Because if that's the case, then why are you paying a coach? I mean, if it's really just what the players are doing, then what are you even paying the guy for? Obviously, some of it is D'Antoni and him figuring them out and bringing them together. You know, but it needs time. The guy came in five games into the season when they're already shutting things down, going, what are we going to do next year? You know, I can't, God forbid, how do we hire Mike Brown and he loses us the first five games? I can't believe we're in this situation. Come on, you still had 77 games left. Then you bring in D'Antoni. He goes, what, somewhat like 6-10 the first 16 games, and it's like, oh, this isn't the right guy. Really? Off 16 games now, this is what we're judging? Versus when you hire a coach, and normally it takes an offseason, and then a season, and then another offseason before they really start gelling. Now we're giving a guy 20 games, but now at the end of the season, when they're starting to win some games, all the credit's going to the players? That's BS.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network, simulcast live on KSHP AM 1400 right here in beautiful Sin City. I've been here for the past 19 years. Check back 20 years from now, I'll still be here. Are you kidding me? Well, I have to say that we want to keep those live chat questions coming. I believe it was Steve who dialed in earlier asking about the Tigers-A's game today. And again, if you do like the Tigers, he implied that he did. I respect that. Again, be careful about bucking that trend, the fact that the A's have won 8 straight games. They are at home. If you do like the Tigers, I would respectfully say the game's a pick. I would respectfully say bet the first 5 innings as opposed to the entire game. Now, we, in addition to live chat on Vegas Video Network, Studio Line Al is sitting here patiently. He is waiting for you to call in, 702-221-7283. That's 702-221-7283. Now, we've talked about the Knicks and the fact that they stopped streaking. What about Oklahoma City? They did it again. Oklahoma City Thunder did it again. 2 nights ago, they were on the road, small favorite, 3.5 points against the Utah Jazz. They won convincingly going away. It's tough this late in the season, having played 75, 78 games. You're on the road, back-to-back, Utah. The one thing they do, they win at home. So the Thunder took care of business. They're trying to solidify the number one seed in the Western Conference. Last night, on the road, Oakland, Golden State Warriors, outstanding home team, Oklahoma City. One again. So now, 3-4 games to go. They're fighting for the number one spot. All indications are they are going to get there. I respectfully said a few weeks ago they would not. Anthony Padilla disrespectfully said, I was full of it. One time, he was right. I was wrong. You're good. I'm bad.
Did you say one time I was right? You were
today.
Wrong? I think that's every week.
Today. Pretty... One time.
So far.
Yes. It's early.
This Thunder team, man, I don't know what to think of them right now. I mean, yeah, these were good wins, those last couple of wins, but I would expect more of what the Knicks are doing out of Oklahoma City right now than what Oklahoma City is doing right now. I'm not going over the last five games. I'm going over the last 10, 15. And I don't want to pull back on my pick for them to win it all, but I'm starting to.
Well, have you heard of LeBron James?
Because you think
James?
I should is why I won't. But I think that, you know, I hope that they bring to the table in the playoffs what I felt that they could. But I feel like right now, I mean, yeah, they still look good right now, but just not as convincingly to me.
I give you credit for owning what you say, because you said weeks ago you felt the Thunder would win the NBA title, and I said they would be challenged just to get out of the West. And if they did get out of the West, there's no way they're going to beat LeBron James four times in a seven-game series, knowing that four of the seven games would be in Miami.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you've got teams now like the Knicks. I mean, who knows? I'm just saying, for argument's sake, there is a possibility that the Heat could lose before the finals. Now, 2 weeks ago, I would not have said that. A month ago, there was nobody even in the same league, okay? But now I feel like it's in the realm of discussion that the Heat could lose before the finals.
It's rare. In fact, we've been doing this show for years, and I think there's only been one other time where I said one team has no shot at winning a game, and I'm going to say the second time today. Just a couple weeks ago, I said Florida Gulf Coast had no shot because I heard so many talking heads talking about the fact that they would give Florida a good run for the money. I said they had no shot, and of course they lost by, I believe, double digits. Today, I'm going on record as saying there is no shot. Forget the Knicks, forget the Pacers, forget the Bulls, forget the Nets. No team in the Eastern Conference will beat the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference. Not going to happen. No chance.
So how are they going to win these series? Are they going to sweep every series?
It doesn't really matter. No team is going to beat them four times in a seven-game series. The Knicks, they're kind of like the Denver Nuggets, my friend, of the Western Conference. They're a good regular season team, but they are not made for the postseason. The Nuggets, I love them. They play a track meet, racehorse type style of game. They will outrun you, high altitude, thin air, but they have a road losing record. Now the Knicks, congratulations, 13 consecutive wins. They live and die by the three ball. In fact, I pulled this up this morning. They broke the record for three-pointers. I mean, the three-point line came into play 1979-1980, but they made 847 threes already this year, beating the old record of the Orlando Magic from a couple of years ago of 841, and we still have 3 to 4 games to go. And then their own record of 2,284 attempts, breaking, they're only 33 shy of the 2008-2009 record of attempts that they themselves set. So again, it's a good recipe for regular season. Different world altogether in the postseason. It's a half-court set, emphasis on defense. You slow it down. Every possession is magnified. Does not lend itself well. I take the Indiana Pacers more seriously than I do the Knicks come postseason.
I don't know, because, again, normally I would agree, but going off of, as of late, we started the show talking about streaks and getting hot at the right time, which is huge in football, because you are only going, you know, four games once you get in the playoffs. And if you just get hot, that's not a lot of games to have to win. Obviously, in the NBA, it's a little bit different because you've got to get up and get hot for a couple of different series. You know, it's not just a game or two. But even with that, I would like to see, well, I'm not a Heat fan either. So, you know, I try to remove that. I mean, because this team is just really, really good, and it's hard to argue against them. But I would really like to see the Knicks give them a run.
I think in basketball, more than anything else, forget who's hot, who isn't hot. More than anything else, you have to be healthy. I remember Rudy Tomjanovich and the Houston Rockets a few short years ago. They were a sixth seed, but they got healthy more than they were hot, and they made a run and won the NBA championship. It's rare that a sixth seed will do that. In football, it happens because you get hot, you wrap up the division, you get a bye, you get a couple of home games before you get to the Super Bowl. But in basketball, it's more about, and that's why the San Antonio Spurs are a dangerous team. Forget the fact they've lost five straight road games. I mean, this the other night against the Denver Nuggets, they played without Steven Jackson, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, and Boris Diaw. Four star players out, and it was a photo until late. Denver pulled away finally in the last 5 minutes of the game. But this San Antonio team with Greg Popovich, the best coach on the planet, he will have this team ready to go. Manu is going to come back the first part of May, probably going to miss the first round of the playoffs. Tony Parker is probable tonight. Steven Jackson is questionable, but he's day-to-day. Boris Diaw out 2 to 3 weeks because of back spasms. But this team, again, this is the team to look out for in the Western Conference. I respect the Oklahoma City Thunder. If they do have, and chances are they're going to have, home court advantage, obviously you make them the favorite. But I'm still hanging on to my Spurs future tickets at plus 220 to win the Western Conference. I think they have a real shot. The Thunder, as good as they are, I don't think they're as good as they were a year ago. James Harden in Houston.
Well, I'm a little scared right now, and that was a crazy trade. I still don't know if I agree with that. It's good for James Harden, because I think it took him going to another team to be able to, you know, come to the forefront. And I mean, because he's lighting it up. Just hats off to him for doing what he's doing. I don't know that if he would have stayed. And you know what? I take it back. Now I'm contradicting myself a little bit because I said I didn't like it. But maybe I do. Because you've already got guys on this Oklahoma City team that it's easy to say, oh, see, why'd you get rid of Harden? But that doesn't mean, had he stayed, that that's what he would still be doing there because of the way that he was worked into that offense.
They had the big three there in Oklahoma City. It was a perfect union. The Oklahoma City team went to the NBA Finals last year. They were so close to winning it all, and they were the number... I mean, they went on the road and beat San Antonio after losing the first two games at San Antonio. Then they won four straight games. This, after the Spurs had won 18 straight games, 10-0 in the playoffs, and then you get rid of one of your marquee players. So Kevin Martin is a decent player. He was shot lights out the other night for Oklahoma City when they were on the road taking on the Utah Jazz. But James Harden does so many more things. Kevin Martin is one-dimensional. Spot-up three-point shooters are a dime a dozen. Derek Fisher, my least favorite player on the planet, plays for that team. He is such a tremendous defensive liability. But the thing that's different this year for the Thunder that really bodes well for them, they have home court advantage. And again, I realize it was a one-game situation, but they did not look good at home. 7.5-point favorite against the Denver Nuggets, actually against the New York Knicks, this past Sunday.
No, but the thing that I've really got to hope, because my question with this team as the season has gone on, is Kevin Durant is absolutely far and away a superstar. But I don't know that he's owning it the way that he should right now. And I don't think that he is the Kobe Bryant of the Thunder in terms of that's his team. You know, Westbrook's is great, but that is Kevin Durant's team. But I don't believe that he's really taking it by the reins and saying, let's go, we got a job to do.
Well,
and
Kevin
until
Durant,
that happens, that's why I'm starting to question them.
I'm a huge fan of Kevin Durant, but he can't score if Russell Westbrook's ego gets in the way and doesn't pass me the ball. I mean, Westbrook is a talent, but my guard on my team at the YMCA, I want him passing the ball, not scoring every other time. But again, my YMCA team's not doing that well either. But Russell Westbrook, I mean, I love the guy, but I think he can be a detriment at times because his ego gets in the way. And just defer to big man on campus, Kevin Durant. Now, the Spurs have it figured out. When they play the Thunder, they do not. Because if you foul Durant, what happens? Automatic 2 points. The guy never misses from the free throw line. He's in the top three, and he gets to the line. He shoots 90% from the free throw line. Watching the Warriors play last night, they're fouling the guy 35 feet from the basket and wondering why they can't win. So I look at this Thunder team, have a lot of respect for them. The big question is, they're without Harden, but they do have home court. We're going to jump right into Spin to Win. Bring the money wheel in. All right. Sports bettors, successful sports bettors know that to be successful, you never bet with your heart. You only bet with your head. This is a segment of the show where we hone in on a game. We have the Denver Nuggets taking on the Dallas Mavericks. The Nuggets on the road are favored by 3 points. I'm going to spin to win. I will be forced to argue one side. Anthony automatically takes the other side because that's what Anthony always does. We want to be objective. You bet with your head, never your heart. You should be able to make an argument for either team before you step up to the bet window. So we have the Nuggets taking on the Mavericks. Denver favored by 3.5. I'm going to sell you on the Mavs. This hurts. The Dallas Mavericks at home. Underdogs are oftentimes undervalued. Home team wins in the NBA. We've talked many times that we have maybe 5 to 6 teams in all of basketball that have a road winning record. And now we have a road team, the Denver Nuggets, that they have a losing road record, and yet they're laying points. They're laying 3 in Dallas against the Mavs. I'm not a big Mavs fan. In fact, they're one of my least favorite teams. If Mike James is your starting point guard, you've got some real problems. This team is heartless. They're gutless. I do love Mark Cuban. How they won the NBA championship a couple, 3 years ago is beyond me, but give credit where credit is due. Dirk Nowitzki. The problem with Dirk is he has fallen in love. He has fallen in love with the outside shot. Yes, he's a 7-footer. Act like one. All right? Hey, he has a good jump shot. I'll give him that. But how about growing a pair and going hard to the basket? How about that, Dirk Nowitzki? Take the Mavs plus the points. Ring up the ringer and see the cashier.
Good effort.
I tried.
It's not a bad effort. Sometimes you're just forced to take out the garbage and dance with it. But you know what? Do I even need to make an argument for this team? Because it's look, Denver is one of those teams that we've talked about since the beginning of the year, how good they are. They're 36-3 at home.
And where's this game?
In Dallas.
Thank you. No further questions.
Oh, well, when you put it like that, then yes, folks, put your money on the Mavs. Look, 36-3 at home, but they're no slouch on the road either. You know, and
they have a losing record on the road. How do you go 36-3 at home and you can't even be .500 on the road?
It doesn't matter. At this point of the season?
It matters. They want to solidify number 3 seed. It does matter.
Look,
they want to be at home in the first round.
Let me make this easy. Here's why Dallas loses the game. One reason. Because they want the lottery pick so Mark Cuban can pick up Brittany Griner. There you go. Put your money on Denver.
Now that's funny. You should do comedy, my friend. That is funny. Brittany Griner. Wow, we haven't heard about her in a while. The 6'8 college player that Mark Cuban says he would consider drafting. But, yeah, well, you have the Denver Nuggets. They are without their top 2 leading scorers, Ty Lawson and Gallinari. But Gallinari's out for the year, but Ty Lawson may or may not play in tonight's game.
Sure, but they looked really good against San Antonio the other night without those guys. So
it was impressive, even though the Spurs played without 4 of their key players. I give the Nuggets credit.
Well, come on, let's just stop saying the Spurs played without somebody. The Spurs always play without somebody. Popovich always has somebody on the bench for some reason.
And what does that say about the depth of this team, that they have the same amount of losses as the Oklahoma City Thunder? They've been healthy the entire year. I feel bad for any team that has to play Popovich's Spurs in the playoffs if they're healthy. If you have the best record in the Western Conference playing with a makeshift lineup, what's it going to be like when they're healthy?
Well, I don't know if that question can even be asked, because are we going to see them healthy?
We will, eventually.
Well,
I hope it's not August.
It could be the way it's going, man.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com. Great to have Anthony Padilla with us, the anchor, the co-host. Originality is everything for The Odds Couple.
Yes, I like it.
All right, great. Yeah, I'll let you handle that bell.
That's
whenever
right.
I tinkle it, it doesn't make any noise.
That doesn't surprise me that you don't know how to work a bell.
Shocking. Shocking, I know. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is David Ivey from Pub Crawl. It's funny because this is David from... You should just leave it on. Hi, I'm David Ivey from Pub Crawl, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. And scene.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. We would love for you to become or continue to be a part of the show. Reach out to us via email, oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love to hear your voice on our show. Simply go to web-based voicemail on Vegas Video Network on the right-hand side. You'll see that we have a red bar. Click there. In the middle of the page, a green bar, start recording. voila, you're part of the show. We also field live chat questions, and the number here at the studio, KSHP AM 1400, is 702-221-7283. Keep those questions coming. We heard from Steve, a Tiger fan, earlier. Bet the Tigers first five. Forget playing the game. I have commitment issues. Why tie up your money for 3 hours when you can tie it up for an hour and a half? Ring up the ringer. See the cashier. Play the Tigers for the first five innings. Now, if you do miss us live, no worries. Reach out to us, Vegas Video Network, YouTube.com, iTunes, Roku. So many ways. Live, tape delayed, archive the show. Have you thought about doing that?
I go home and listen to us and watch us every week.
That's.
I spend the rest of my afternoon doing that.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
Well, I want to get better.
Well, keep trying.
And by get better, I mean I want to find a way to replace you, and I just don't know how to do it while I'm in studio. So I've got to go home and think about that.
First things first, change the shirt, Garth. Then you can step up with the big boys. You can't run with the big boys if you stay on the porch.
This is you. I'm going to leave that alone. I won't even. I know you got a haircut today, so I don't want to go too hard with you.
This is The Odds Couple on Vegas Video Network, simulcast live on KSHP AM 1400 radio in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, where do you have to look to find frustration in the
Scott
world
Pritchard.
Of sports? I don't have to look far.
That's where I look.
Sports betting. Are you kidding me?
I was thinking long and hard about this the last couple of days, Scott, as I sat at home wondering what I was going to talk about. I don't know that I figured it out, really, but what I did come up with was a very cool story about this 14-year-old golfer that's playing in the Masters right now. I love stories like this. I think anytime a kid is involved in anything, you really have to appreciate it. You know, you can't – look, it doesn't matter if the kid goes out and shoots a round of 90 every day. The fact that he qualified, awesome. But he didn't shoot a round of 90. He shot a round of 73 in his opening Masters round. Are you kidding, dude? That's insane. I can't shoot a 73 on a putt-putt course with no pressure. And this kid went out and did it in the opening round of the Masters. Big kudos to him. Now, here's where I'm going with this. This is a 14-year-old kid that's playing for that big boy Masters check. He's qualified. He is in the hunt for the money. I mean, is he going to win? No, of course not. But he is in it enough where he could collect a check from this. And he can now go forward, you know, getting his tour card, all of that. And he's 14 years old. Is it right? I don't know. But my argument here is that we won't let guys into the NFL until after three seasons of college football. We won't let guys into the NBA. And now, it used to be straight out of high school, but now you've got to go to a year of college. Major League Baseball, you can still get drafted out of high school, you know, but if you play 2 years of community college, you know, there's a whole lot of other stuff that goes on with college and pros and whatever. But look, just like golf, now 14-year-olds don't belong in the NFL, obviously. But if these kids are old enough and they're good enough, if you clean pools, for example, and you come up working at a pool company and you're the best pool cleaner. Right? Nobody's going to stop you from going and getting a job at the premier pool company at 18 years old. They're not going to say, well, you got to wait till you're 20, then come back. Well, you can get whatever job you want if you're the best in that industry, except sports. And that's BS, man. Look, these guys, if you're a true talent out of high school, I don't care what sport it is, you should be able to be drafted and you should be able to go. Like, forget the fighting for the country. This is professional sports. If you're 18, you finished high school, you're good enough. If 14-year-olds can make a paycheck in golf, then 18-year-olds can make a paycheck in football, baseball, basketball, whatever. You kidding?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
Are you kidding me? Zach Greinke broke his collarbone. How? Why did this happen? You ask? I'm glad you asked. Zach Greinke last night, $147 million contract pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. How do I know this? I'm listening to the show. KSHP, we broadcast the Dodgers each and every game, in addition to the Clippers, and then even an amateur team, the Dallas Cowboys. We broadcast their games as well. So keep that in mind as you progress on KSHP AM 1400. How did Zach Greinke break his collarbone? I'll tell you why. 3-2 the count. taking on the Padres. Sixth inning, 2-2 the score, bases empty. Check it out right here. He plunked him, all right? So San Quentin, or Carlos Quentin, I guess is his name, he who hovers the plate got upset because he got hit. Hey, man, if you hover the plate, expect to get hit now and again. Now, Quentin gets hit more than any other player in baseball, not this year, not last year, but the last 2 years in a row. So, hey, it comes with the territory. Zach Greinke, he's hit a lot of batters. He's hit 46. Three of those batters have been Carlos Quentin. So there is a history, no love lost between the two. From the way I see it, again, no intent. Greinke, if I'm pitching, listen, if I'm pitching, I'm going to own the plate. If you're getting too close, I'm going to brush you back. It's part of the game. Anthony, I want to get your feedback because I know you used to pitch Little League.
I was a strong T-ball pitcher, man.
I don't doubt it. You still are.
I placed that ball on the tee like a champ.
You still are. Don't take anything away from what you do.
Well, all right, man. Look, this is very simple, and I don't care what anybody says. For every argument you make, you're contradicting another argument with the game itself. Just like baseball is as the pitcher, I'm owning this plate. If you're crowding it, I'm going to back you off. Just like there's that strategy involved. On the opposing side, a guy who is owning the plate is now putting himself in a position to occupy a base for his team more often than not. Is it, you know, is it chicken? Is it BS? Doesn't matter. If he draws more walks, now here's the fine line. If you're going to be the guy that crowds the plate to get hit by pitches to draw that walk, then you can't get upset when you get hit. So, am I upset that Zach Greinke broke his collarbone when Quentin charged the mound? I think it's unfortunate. But if this happened and he didn't break his collarbone, then it's just another conversation chalked up to, well, that's the game. And to be honest with you, two innings later, they would have been thrown back at one of their players anyways. And, I mean, it's never happened. Again, we were discussing this at the break earlier. You know, if on that retaliation pitch, yeah, you're generally throwing at a guy's back or you're throwing behind him because you always know where to throw it and where to hit a guy. But what if that one gets away and you actually injure the guy? Then do we start going, see, this is why you don't retaliate. Look, it's all part of the game. We're only mad because an unfortunate thing happened. But this isn't going to stop with that. I guarantee you another guy's going to get hit. It's not the last time someone's charging the mound. Hopefully it's the last time somebody gets hurt, but we'll see. But I have no problem with what happened.
Al from the studio here has reminded us that these same two teams meet starting again on Monday, so we might see some retaliation.
I love it. Early on in the season that this happens and you've got the whole year. See, that's why I said, man, Halliday, just he should have been more patient in spring training. This can happen in the first week, and you got the rest of the year to handle it.
I don't know, man. I'm not happy about this. I'm talking about a $147 million contract. This guy's a star pitcher, and
So, come on.
Quentin,
so what does that mean?
He outweighs the guy by 45 pounds. He gets a running start.
So what
come
does
on.
That mean? What does that
I
mean?
Think in,
you
in defense
can only
of Quentin,
charge. It's not basketball. You don't have a center going up against the center. Like, the guy hit him. People charge them.
It happens. You get hit every now and again, especially if you're on top of the plate. Okay, but, and no one has been hit more than this
guy,
he goes after a pitcher that he outweighs by 45
so what?
Pounds.
Let's go back to
he
Robin.
Has a running start. No wonder he dislocated his shoulder.
Let's go back to Robin Ventura charging Nolan Ryan when Nolan Ryan knocked him out.
Well, again, that's okay, that I can respect a little bit because Nolan Ryan is a stud. Okay, would Quentin go after Hulk Hogan if he was pitching? Doubtful.
He would be standing on first base. You can't make that argument.
He would be standing on first base saying, hey, listen, thanks for not throwing
Look,
me
not,
a fastball.
That's not pitchers. There's no pitcher, really. I mean, Clayton Kershaw, somebody like that, you know, but you can't say, well, what if this guy was pitching? That's not who was pitching. So we don't know why he charged. I mean, maybe it is the fact he's been hit three times by him.
Greinke popped off, okay, because that's the thing, and that's why he charged. So, they're both guilty here, but it's going to be fun. Monday, tune in. Dodgers, Padres, round two.
Come on, if you play baseball, man, you're going to charge the guy you can beat. I mean, you don't want to.
That's why you never charge.
You don't want to run out to the mound against a guy that might take you down, because if you're charging the mound, the objective there is to make sure you win that battle.
This is the part of the show where Anthony and I together put you on the right side. We put money in your pocket. We're going to get right to the nuts and bolts as we together put you on the right side.
Right side. Look, all I can say about the right side, winner, winner, winner.
When's the last
That's
win?
How we do things. I don't know.
1974, was that the last time you lost?
I think so, man. Because last week, once again, I had the 2.5 points, and it came down to a free throw situation. Lakers were down by one. I'm sorry, the Lakers were up by one with 9 seconds left. They fouled Dwight Howard. If he hits both free throws, I lose.
Well, you knew you were a lock to win at
that
point.
Dwight Howard hits one, boom, winner. I win by the hook, because what am I?
Dr. Hook!
That's it. I love your nicknames, and I don't know why I ride like riding that hook, but I found another game this week with another hook. I've got the Lakers. Once again, I feel like why not? The Warriors heading to L.A., taking on the Lakers. Lakers 7.5-point favorites in this one. We've talked about them plenty today, so let's just get to the point on this. You've got a Warriors team that should be much better than 7.5-point underdogs going up against the Lakers team that is hurt, and they're questionable night to night. Yeah, they've won 5 of their last 6, but Kobe has an upper respiratory infection. He's questionable, although I'm sure he'll still play through it. Steve Nash still has the hamstring issues. Dwight Howard never really heals from anything. And Meta World Peace, I don't know what's going on with him right now. But I think that 7.5 points is just a lot. I think the Lakers definitely could win this game, but that doesn't matter. 7.5 points is a lot, and they should not be 7.5-point favorites ever with their record and what they're doing. So the right side for me in this game is the Warriors plus the 7.5, which means they'll probably lose by 7.
The right side for me, before we get to that, let's recap what I did yesterday. Had a very good week once again, ATS against the spread. Yesterday I was on a baseball game. It was a tie. We talked before about key totals in baseball, 7 and 9, depending upon if it's American League or National League. I played the Seattle Mariners under 7, 4-3 final. Now you understand why 7 is such a key number, 7-0-6-1-5-2-4-3. Now, again, so yesterday's play was a push. Today, I'm looking at a pro basketball game, the 76ers taking on the Washington Wizards. The total for this game is 192. I tend to be an under player, but and looking at the stats for these two teams, the Sixers have more overs than unders. The Wizards, surprisingly enough, 45 unders, only 32 overs with 2 pushes. I like the over in this contest based on matchups, based on free throw attempts up to this point, and field goal attempts. So I think the over is where the value is. So in this contest, Red Rover, I love the over, 192 in the Wizards Philadelphia 76er contest. My name is Scott Pritchard from PritchardsPicks.com. You're listening to KSHP AM 1400 Radio right here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Simulcast each and every day, Monday through Friday. We're changing the time, 10 a.m. Las Vegas time, Monday through Friday, starting this coming week on Vegas Video Network. Anthony Padilla, great to have you back. Love having you on the show, an anchor, a mainstay of the show. Without Anthony, there was no odds couple. Just keep on keeping on. Wait, what are you doing this weekend?
Winning is what I'm doing.
Is that
this
right?
Weekend,
well, guess what? If I only had seven days to come up with one pick one time, I'd have a good record too. I have to do this every single day.
Oh, that's where we've taken it to?
Pretty much. Now, that's all I came up with.
After the last 8 months of me just throwing out winners, and you've been doing this for, let's not get it twisted here, you haven't been doing this for weeks. It's been 1 week, 5 days. You picked a couple of winners. Now we're, because I'll go head-to-head with you, buddy.
I don't doubt it, and I don't blame you. I feel like calling Anthony and saying, hey, Anthony, who do you like today?
I'm not going to do this for real money.
I've had a very good season, ATS against the spread, only to be outdone by Anthony Padilla, who started the season 0-3 in pro football, but I'm guessing he's lost 3, maybe 4 games since that time. He's been unbelievable. Unbelievably good. What are you doing this weekend for the second time?
Winning. Same as I said before. I'm winning because I'm doing a couple of fun things. You're joining us tonight at my show, Comedy After Dark, with myself over at the LVH. We're going strong. Great crowd last night. A lot of fun. And tomorrow we've got a great thing going on. Myself and my buddy Jeremy Wien, we're going to be taken to our heads with the Clippers and not the ones from LA to get rid of our hair in honor of someone involved very closely in our lives that is undergoing some chemotherapy. So we're going to shave our heads with them, and I believe you're going to be doing the same thing.
I absolutely will. It's for a good cause. If you're in Las Vegas this weekend, check out Anthony and me tonight, LVH Comedy After Dark. Tomorrow night, L.A. Comedy Club at Bally's. I'll be doing stand-up comedy. This is The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard. Check me out at PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com. For my good buddy Anthony Padilla, my name is Scott Pritchard. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
See ya.